Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We are in the process of trying to reach my guest, Mr. John McKee, and we're going to be talking today about his wonderful book, Career Wisdom. Apparently, somebody called in, and his phone line is busy right at the moment. So as soon as that is cleared and we're able to reach him, we are definitely going to be having him as a guest. I talked to him just a few minutes before we went on air. I did want to share something with you that prior to talking with John, there is a quote from one of the business books that I thought was, you know, pretty good. And I wanted to share it with you. This was by Robert Runce. He said, "We shall not perish as a people even if we get our money supply wrong, but if we get our human relationships wrong, we shall destroy ourselves." And when I think about what's going on today, especially globally, there is an orientation that is occurring. It's as if an old world of attitudes and thoughts is beginning to die. Why? Because it doesn't fit anymore. It never really fit, if we're perfectly honest about it. But we have to change. We really have to look at interacting with others on a different level, and not with an attitude of isolationism or separatism. We're always going to be discriminating in one way or another. I am not naive to think that people aren't going to have their opinions and that everybody's going to think alike. We're not homogeneous as people. Being homogenized in any way is not what is going to be suitable with human nature. However, when we get stuck in our little worlds of isolation, thinking that our way is the only way, we usually become trapped in a level that I call stagnation. We wonder why we get irritated so easily and why sometimes we feel confused. It's because if we're not willing to grow, then we are going to stagnate. And there is nothing that nature abhors more than a vacuum of inactivity, a vacuum where seemingly nothing is going on. And Mother Nature is fascinating. She has a way of giving us a good swift kick every time we get too complacent. So I think money, assets, all of that is significant in life. But it's the relationships we have with people. Most wars are caused because someone feels they either want to dominate somebody else or they want what you've got, which is, in effect, the same thing as wanting to dominate someone. But it's like, you have what I don't have, so I want to take from you so I can have it. Isn't it better if we can educate ourselves to realize that there's always enough and that we're not all going to want the same thing? We're all different. We're all unique in the way we look at life. So it's important for us as individuals to be able to be there for what we know is the highest and best for ourselves, but also to recognize that other people are going to want different things. And when it comes to business, I think so often we get stuck in ruts. And that's why I was looking forward to John McKee. We are waiting for his call and waiting to reconnect with him. He was on the line with me earlier, and then we had to call him back, and I think that he got another phone call, and consequently, we have not been able to get through. So whatever's happened in the interim has caused us to have some downtime, but we are definitely going to be getting back together with him. So as soon as we connect, he's going to be on the air with us, and my engineer is going to let me know. So let's move along right now. I want to share some information with you, and we're not opening up the telephone lines right now because what we're trying to do is make that connection with John. We're keeping the phone lines so that we can get his call in as soon as his line is free. You know, one of the big problems that many, many people have today is noise. We have, in any given environment, except what privately we may choose to accept or reject, a lot of noise. And I know, being in the broadcasting industry and having been in it for so many years, I've known so many, many men and women whose hearing has been permanently damaged. In fact, not just one ear, but in both ears. I have known performers, whether they have been playing for a symphony or whether they have been in their own band, who have lost a major part of their hearing, if not all of their hearing, especially as they get older. Well, the big thing is we need to remember less is best. And there's over 28 million Americans that have at least some level of hearing loss. And they're discovering in the research that many, many of these people have been using iPods. Well, this is not really something new, because I've been aware of this for a lot of years. In fact, whenever I broadcast, I'd always turn my tone down so my ears weren't being filled with all of this high decibel level sound. And so frequently, if you're out driving around, you'll hear someone in a car next to you, they've got their radio, they've got their stereos on so loud, the vehicle's almost rocking. And you just know that they're going to be paying a price, and that price is going to be the loss of their hearing. So it would be a good idea, number one, to take a positioning of prevention. If you're going to be using a player of any kind, you've got it plugged into your ears, and that even goes for your phone, turn the volume down. Keep it down. And I know if you're in a vehicle and you're on a cell phone, you want to have it high because you've got all the road noise. Just remember, tone goes into the ear and it can affect your hearing permanently. Now, 1 in 5 people today who could use a hearing aid, they wear it. But the other 4 out of 5 that have hearing problems, they choose not to. And I've known people that do that too. They say, I don't like it. It sounds tinny. Well, for a lot of people, they've found they don't like the way the old hearing aids work. So now, because of technology, they have been able to make different adaptations. The new modern models come in all kinds of shapes, everything from triangles to teardrops, different colors, and there are customizable volume settings, rechargeable batteries, even Bluetooth technology. So if you have a hearing problem, be sure you take care of it. Don't wait until you reach a point like a very, very dear friend of mine did, where he ended up losing the hearing. Actually, a few of my friends in the industry have ended up losing the hearing in both of their ears. Don't do that. It's not worth it. Well, by gum, I think we've got John McGee. John, are you with me?
I am, Donna. I don't know what happened there. The failures of technology, I'm afraid.
Well, I think so, but I'm so glad you got the message. Because I know I just talked to you a few minutes before. Now, John, your book that we're going to be talking about today is called Career Wisdom, 101 Proven Strategies to Ensure Workplace Success. Now, you as an individual, John, have been so much involved with career coaching. You've had a previous book, 21 Ways Women in Management Shoot Themselves in the Foot. You've done all kinds of radio and television, but I think it's important for my listeners to know that you have been actively involved in business across North America, also overseas. You've hired, you've promoted, you've laid off, you've fired, in your words, literally thousands of people. So when you're involved with coaching, you're coming from a positioning of, I've walked the walk, I'm talking the talk, and I'm not just doing it to hear myself think. You really have a passion for this, don't you?
I sure do. Actually, I defined my life purpose about 10 years ago, Donna, as being one that was going to help as many people to become more successful as possible.
Now, you have such a background in business. Why did you want to write this book? After all, you had written this other one for women, about how they could succeed in business and you know, you had a number of descriptions about how they can undermine themselves. And for women, this has been a big issue because it's only been basically in the last 30 to 40 years that women have been able to get past what is described as the glass ceiling in business. But why was this important to you? Why did you feel like you needed to do this?
I work with clients all around the world, as you noted in that very generous introduction. Thank you. And it's clear that many things which someone with a lot of business experience takes for granted is new or foreign to a lot of people in business. I felt that by taking a look through our files, identifying the most often used successful strategies and putting it into a relatively trim, I think, but muscular book that would be easy to read would be a real help for a lot of people out there.
I like the way you were very direct in particular topics. Now let's go one that's the very first one in your book, and I had to chuckle because I love the title of this chapter, Work for a Jerk and Succeed Anyway. I mean, to me, that was just priceless because all of us, if we've lived long enough, we worked for a jerk. I mean, somebody that you wonder that, you know, if how they can even manage to still breathe and how they even were put into a positioning of authority and responsibility, and you're under them.
Yeah.
So, let's give just a few points on that positioning.
All right. And let me preface my comments, Donna, by telling your listeners that this book is for people who are serious about wanting to get ahead. These tips are things that I've seen successfully used by others, but they may be somewhat offensive to some of your listeners, so I want to kind of steal them right now. Having said that, I think the first thing that one should do if they do work, if they are working for a jerk, is to decide if it's worth it, if the opportunities within the company or the pay that they're making outweigh the difficulty of dealing with this person who is so self-centered it makes you want to grit your teeth. If they decide that they want to move ahead, though, there are a couple of tips that I can give them on the phone right now. First of all, understand what we call the circle of success, and that means recognize that when you make your boss look good, deservedly or not, it helps you shine. If the boss understands that you're able to help him or her succeed, then you and your team are going to get more time, they're going to get more resources, and they're going to facilitate your own productivity. This is kind of contrary to what a lot of the old management books told us to do. Another tip, Donna, I'd say would be to pace your boss. Let your boss see that you share the same work ethic as her, and you might just end up on her good side for a change, however shallow that could be. Simply put, if your boss has work habits that have her coming in early in the morning or staying late at night, perhaps even coming in on the weekend, it is entirely to your benefit to be seen as sharing those work habits. Be there when she or he is.
All right. And I think that it's another point that you made that was very significant is if you have a boss that is a jerk, you need to be aware that many times those people, they have real issues. And if they sense a weakness in you, they're going to go for the jugular.
Exactly right. The old story that you and I know very well, sharks smell blood.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking around with a target on your back, it's not serving you well. If they think that you're weak and that you're not up to the job, you're not going to get ahead.
Mm-hmm. And I really want to make it full circle and come back to what you said right at the beginning. And that is, if you have someone that you are not happy to work with, if their ethics are not what you want, we have a member of our family that found that he was working with someone that was 100% thief and crook in their business, in their industry. And that individual said, thanks, but no thanks. I'll do my job to a certain point, making sure everything is in order, and I'm going to do it in spite of you, and then I'm out of here. I don't want to be there. And they were asked to come back by the same person, but they said to them, quite frankly, I cannot uphold your ethics. So they said, I'm out, period. And they never, ever regretted that. So when you're in that positioning, I wanted to go back to the very beginning of what you said, because it is valid. If you cannot, with your own integrity, deal with it, get out. The world's a big place. There's a lot of other opportunities. Now, let's get into something that is really hot right now. Here in the Pacific Northwest, where I'm located, Boeing, who is one of the biggest companies, not just in the state, but in the world, has been offshoring so much of its work that the people that are here that have been a part of the Boeing family for maybe sometimes up to three, four generations, they're finding that what they had in the past may not be there because of the offshoring situation. How does someone in today's world deal with an issue that is going to becoming even bigger? How do you deal with that? If you're out looking for work and there's so many companies that are saying, we're moving out of America or we're offshoring different aspects of our manufacturing business, what do you do?
Well, you've hit on something that is obviously particularly important in your neck of the woods, but it's going to become equally as important elsewhere. I don't think people realize that the true effects of offshoring haven't yet been realized. There are still fewer people affected by offshoring than by the layoffs from the so-called big three automakers in Detroit. This is going to become significantly more important over the next 2 years than it has yet become. And I feel for your people in the Northeast. It is disruptive, and it is not effective. As a matter of fact, many organizations who had been using offshoring so far are recognizing that they can't get the kind of talent and benefits of using U.S. citizens, and they're moving back here, people like Dell.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't help your folks in the aerospace sector or any other sector that's being downsized. One of the things that you can do to protect yourself from being offshored is to ensure that your skill set is one that can't be easily replaced by someone who is less expensive or capable of doing the job faster because they're prepared to work 12 hours, in Bombay or something, or Mumbai or something like that, in a day as opposed to 8 hours. This trend, the only way we can protect ourselves is to recognize that life employment no longer exists, and that's hard for some people who have invested 15 or 20 years with a company.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize that unless they have a skill set that can't be easily reproduced by a computer or a human being, they're at risk, and they better give serious consideration to upgrading their skill set. I'm working right now with a fellow who is a doctor. I've worked with lawyers. I've worked with CPAs. All of these people are waking up and finding that automation or Asia is taking their jobs away. So it's going to spread across the sector, and all you can do is make sure that you're ahead of the curve by having a skill set or capacity that is better than is in the market right now elsewhere.
Now, how would we be able to evaluate the preparation, John? Because so many people whose positionings were there, and like you said, automation and or people in different countries that are able to do certain services that is at a much lower pay base. Now, that would be changing, but it may take 15 years before that's going to change. So they're slowly but surely catching up with us, especially when you look at India. When you look at India, and these people are investing so much in education, we're not dealing anymore with a poverty mentality over there. There is just an explosion of highly educated, very talented people. And these can be people anywhere in the world. When the education, like China, they have the volumes of people. So you have this. So what, is there a venue if someone's heading on for college? You know, we have these young people that are going into school. They may be encountering people that are of the old mindset. What can we do? What can we share with them? Can they go to a vocational counselor? What do they do to prepare themselves for this curb? Because they're not going to be stepping out into jobs paying them $40,000, $50,000, $60,000.
Absolutely not. The first thing we do is we've got to be straight with the young people and tell them that if their job can be done by software or by someone in a less expensive country or part of the world, the chances are the job is not going to last a long time in the U.S. And then we talk about how to kind of get ready for it and understand that as good as computers are, Donna, they cannot yet be creative. What they can do is they can reproduce kind of logic that
mm-hmm.
says if something does this thing, then therefore the outcome is going to be that. And so consequently, a doctor's diagnosis can be reproduced by a computer. A tax form can be filled in by a computer. But if it requires creativity, then someone is going to be less likely of being affected. And so this is the so-called creative nation strategy that many people in D.C. are propagating. They're saying that if our education focuses more on being creative, and frankly, that's what led this country for so many years, as opposed to being repetitive, then we've got an edge, and we've got to share that with our young people. In addition, anything that involves manual labor can't be done offshore, and that's one of the reasons why you and I are paying our plumbers far more than many doctors and lawyers are making. So that so-called blue-collar job, the individual owning his or her, that's a pretty safe place to be today.
Now, let's touch on having a plan. Let's touch on that for a moment. And by the way, John, would you be willing to stay with me longer? We got started later. Would you be willing? We're going to be taking a break at the bottom of the hour. Would you be able to stay with me for another few minutes?
I'd love to do that.
All right, then let's do that. But right now, let's get to the issue of planning. Because you make a statement in your book, in your observation, if you want something, have a plan to get it.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb when you talk to people about this that most people do not have a plan for their life. Sometimes they'll kind of look at you blankly when you bring up the concept, but everyone who is in business, everyone who is a professional recognizes that they need to have a plan to make their business or their own business practice become more successful. And we say at BusinessSuccessCoach.net, Donna, that you should use that same tactic. Everyone should use that same tactic for their life. If they want to have a life that is fully satisfying, that means one where they've got a family, one where they've got material possessions, a nice home or a car, and one where they're doing work that they find satisfactory, they should detail that out. And if you don't have a plan, the opposite is true. You are putting your faith and your trust in some employer. And we just talked about what can happen to someone who is fully trusting the employer to look after them. It doesn't work anymore. So our starting position when we're working with clients and my personal advice when I meet somebody as a human being is write it down. Figure out what steps it's going to take and what it is that you want. Be clear on it. It will be far more easy to succeed in getting it.
Let's talk about the 10 habits ensuring career self-sabotage. Now, John, I may interrupt you because we've got a couple of minutes before we take a break. So just if I interrupt you, just know that we're just going to take a break and we'll come back shortly. Let's talk about those 10 habits. You've mentioned failing to have a life plan, which we've just talked about, not keeping your skill set current, which we've talked about, but we've got failing to deliver results, confusing efficiency with effectiveness, believing you're irreplaceable, knowing all the answers, surrounding yourself with brown nosers, forgetting to give credit to others, and failing to self-promote. I really like that one about the diva. Let's touch on that for a bit.
About the divas, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, what you're talking about is those individuals who think that they are just so important to the success that of the organization they work in, that they can't be replaced. They've maybe had some successes in their past and believe that they are the smartest, most effective person in the organization, and they're therefore untouchable. In fact, as soon as you start thinking that way, you're starting to go down the ladder, not up. You can't believe that you know everything and that there is no one better than you, or else you're going to start flaming out.
You know something that you mentioned here, confusing efficiency with effectiveness. I read this and I thought, amen to this. I have found, of course, I'm a communicator as far as being a talker. I like talking with people. Emails are fine, but I find there is so much misrepresentation of information via email. Not a lot of people understand that what they're putting in type on that page that they're sending, whether it's a line or 500 lines, it's not communicating well. And it's better when you can talk on the phone or you can be face-to-face with someone. And I like that you bring that out.
Well, you know, you are a communicator by profession and probably as a woman in person too, Donna. There are a lot of people, though, who have been raised only in organizations that use the written word or the electronic word, and they don't even understand just how powerful it can be standing and talking to someone. Now, maybe when they're sitting with their girlfriend or their husband or something like that, they get it, but this is particularly important in business today, and the research on this is very clear. When someone talks to their people, when someone spends the time to walk around the office and get to know the staff, they are far more effective, and they will end up with far better results as a consequence.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Because we started late, John McGee has been very gracious to spend some more time with us. So we're going to be coming back and continuing our conversation about career wisdom. Male, female, it doesn't make any difference. Our world is changing dramatically in the working marketplace. You want to be sure that you have the tools that are going to empower you to get the best for you in the right way, and you know how to do it. We'll come back and share some more things with you. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. John McGee is my guest. Career Wisdom is the publication that we're talking about. This book is so handy because it's not a big book, and he has condensed 101 proven strategies to ensure workplace success. And as John said in the very beginning of our conversation today, this is especially directed at anyone that really wants to move on into their arena of expertise, whatever it is that you're wanting to do. Now, John, you make a comment about surrounding yourself with brown nosers, and we've been talking about 10 habits that ensure career self-sabotage. This is a big one. That's a term I don't hear very often, but when it is used, it is definitely a derogatory term of the highest order. Explain that, why that is going to sabotage you. John, are you still with me?
Hello.
Hi, John. Are you still there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Did you hear my question, John? We had a little bit of...
I did hear your question, Donna. Thank you. The smartest people among us understand that they don't know everything, and they ask a lot of questions, and they try to keep aware of what's going on, what other people are thinking, and what's going on in the world. Those people who surround themselves with suck-ups, or as I term them in the book, brown nosers, are not getting the benefit of other people's perspectives. What they're getting is a lot of people telling them how smart they are and how they know all the answers. And so quickly they become out of date. Quickly they lose touch with what's going on. And that begins the road of self-sabotage.
In your book, you have a chapter on the value of meetings, and I don't know about many individuals, but myself, sometimes whenever I'd hear a meeting coming up or about one coming up, I'd sort of cringe, because so often meetings in a business environment, you've got 2 hours, 3 hours, and you feel like you're being drugged through a sludge of absolute confusion, and you walk out of the meeting and you go, oh, brother, this was a waste of my time. But you talk in your book about how meetings do not have to be a waste of time. Tell us how that can be prevented.
Well, firstly, start with an objective for the meeting. I'm always amazed at how often I ask people what the objective or what the goal of the meeting is, and they kind of look at you like, well, because we've got to talk. And yet, when I talk to the people who attended the meeting, they didn't get any information out of it. So define what the objective is and share that clearly with the people. If it's an ongoing meeting, tell people what's expected from them. For example, we intend to have a regular meeting to take a look at how everybody's doing, and I'd like you to prepare 15 minutes to talk about how you're doing in your specific area. If people don't know what's expected of them, they come in ill-prepared, and the meeting is less effective for everyone else. Secondly, tell people how long the meeting's going to be and stick to it. What we don't want nowadays is this endless kind of babbling going on where people are talking about this and that, and there doesn't seem to be any outcome. It just seems to be kind of redoing old conversations. So if you say the meeting's going to start at 1 o'clock and it's going to finish at 3 o'clock and I expect each one of you to talk for 15 minutes, that helps crystallize the effectiveness right there. And then at the end, have someone send out some brief minutes. And if it's time-consuming, take minutes, then the minute taker can rotate around the meeting. But if there's follow-up to what was discussed, it will make the meeting genuinely more productive, and it will make the following meeting even better.
I agree. And you've got so many other good points in the book as well. Let's talk about qualities of great managers. In the past 15 years or so, there's been quite a downsizing of middle management, and I'm observing that some companies are beginning to bring them back in because they're finding that it is helping their businesses to operate more effectively. But the working marketplace has changed dramatically over the years. So with these swings, many times there is not much attention given to what makes a truly fine manager. What are some of those qualities?
Well, really fine managers are great communicators, as we spoke of before, but they're also dedicated to helping the people around them succeed, and people recognize that. These aren't credit hogs. These aren't people who are full of themselves. They understand that they're there for a mission, in that they're in this together. So they give other people the tools that they need. They mentor them. They follow up with them. Great leaders also have learned how to make their own success They overcome obstacles that other people would have seen as impossible to overcome. And every time we watch a newsreel or an entertainment show of show business people or athletes, we see this in action. People who are just so clear on what it is that they want to overcome and what they want to be that they realize that success. I also find that the really great managers are great listeners, and we've spoken about that just a little while ago, but they not only listen, but they respond. So they take it in, they learn from others at all levels, and then they respond. They change their behaviors. One of the things that people misunderstand, I think, Donna, is the difference between power and force. Really great managers encourage people. They help them grow their career or their emotional muscles. And they use that combined strength to deal with what it is that the company or the organization is tackling. Poor managers force outcomes. They bully people. They push people and then believe that they're helping to grow them, when in fact all they're causing is people who become unhappy and disenfranchised. And finally, I'd say that the really great ones are continuously upgrading their skills. They recognize that the world doesn't stand still, and they've got to keep current.
You have a chapter on a coaching approach. You also have a chapter on how the corporate ladder is not as steep as you think. And you bring a number of really, really good points on so many different levels. But you also have a chapter on all work and no play. And we Americans are known throughout the world for being workaholics. The average American often will give up their vacation time to continue to work and not to do to change that in the American psyche, in the business psyche. That's been a pretty tough proposition. Have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely. It's almost a badge of honor in some organizations when people can brag that I didn't take all 14 days or something like that. I have a client right now in Frankfurt who has mandatory 8 weeks of vacation. And while, you know, we might make a case that that's too much time off, the research is pretty clear that taking time off and clearing your head actually makes you more effective on the job. These people who believe that the company or their department is going to fall down if they're there, not there every night of the week and every week of the year usually burn themselves out. They may be more effective for a while, but at some stage they end up flaming out, and consequently their operation becomes a loser as a result of that. We have this kind of, from our Puritan forefathers perhaps, this belief that overachievement is a good thing. And I am a strong believer that overachievers are good in the short term and very bad for an organization and for themselves in the long term. They usually exhibit health problems. They become dependent upon things that are not healthy long-term, like booze or cigarettes or overeating. Worse still, they create distrust in other organizations within the company, so team spirit is broken down, too. We've got to get past this if we want to have a healthier and longer personal life, if we want the people that are around us to continue loving us, and if we want to become as efficient and as effective as we can on the job.
My guest today has been John McGee. His wonderful book, and believe me, it is a powerful little book. I say little because it's a little bit more, well, it's about a 5x8 in size. So you could tuck it into a briefcase. If you're traveling, you can pack it with you. If you're a mom going to some games, take a flashlight, take the book. And, you know, if you're aspiring to move with the changes, John has put a lot in this little book, a lot that can help you. It's handy, easy to read, and it gives you something to chew on. So you can go to John's website. John, what is your website?
John M as in Michael McKee, mckee.com. You can also order it on Amazon.com, Donna, or Barnes & Noble, and it's available in a lot of local bookstores as well.
That's wonderful. John M. McKee, and that's John M. like Mary, and then McKee is spelled mckee.com. And again, the book is Career Wisdom, 101 Proven Strategies to Ensure Workplace Success. You'll definitely find that it's comprehensive, to the point, and it'll give you a lot to work with. John, thank you for being my guest today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and when we come back, more good things to share. So don't go away.
Animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And then we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, quick like a bunny, I did want to mention to you, for those of you in the state of Washington, I'm doing a special appearance at the Tacoma Little Theater in downtown Tacoma on I Street. There is a wonderful event called the Dickens Fair, and it is going to be going on. This is the third year that it's been done, and I've been invited to be a participant, and I'm going to be at the Tacoma Little Theater doing many readings. So there's going to be all kinds of fun, free carriage rides. It's absolutely going to be magical. So I would invite you and your friends, if you have a chance, to come on out. It's great for the family. It'll be starting at 12 noon, and I'm going to be at Tacoma Little Theater from 12 until 5 o'clock. The activity for the whole neighborhood in the Stadium High area in the downtown Tacoma section is going to be from 12 until 6, and it's perfect for the family. What a wonderful way to start off a holiday. So I invite you, come on by, say hello, and I will also have some of my children's books display there. So if you'd like to get an autographed copy, you'll be able to do that. So that's going to be this coming Saturday, December the 8th, from 12 noon until 5, the Dickens Fair. You can also get the information about the Dickens Fair on the web by dickensfairibelieve.net. And all you have to do is go in and check that out, and you will have everything that you need to know right then and there. And if you want to come in costume, come in costume. It's so much fun. Now, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I would say, hey, go ahead and do that. If you're a first-time listener to the Donna Sebo Show, then I want to invite you to call in as well. And you, all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial. And then after that, let me do what I do well. I'll give you my insights, and you're welcome then, when I finish, to ask me a question about anything you like. Yesterday, we were busy with callers, and so I wasn't able to get to some more zodiac signs for the winter horoscope. And, of course, these are just fun. These are general. Now, we covered Cancer yesterday, so I wanted to get to Leo and Virgo today. Leo, in the month of December, now this is winter months, 3 months here, December, January, and February. For those of you born under the sign of Leo, wow, it seems like luck is going to be in your life. And you're going to have a great time. And hey, you single guys, you might be meeting a special lady. And in the month of January for your Leos, you've got a very big opportunity that's going to be coming your way, especially through work. And if you've been working towards a particular objective for quite a long time, it's going to come through for you. Also, don't be afraid to go out and look for those bargains. January is a great time to get them. So maybe instead of spending a whole month bunch for Christmas, save those dollars and do your shopping after the holidays, where you're going to get the super bargains and get exactly what it is you want for the best value. And you'll be sticking to your budget as well. And let's look at the month of February. You've got all kinds of people that are going to be coming into your life. It's also going to be a time when you're going to be able to plan your own financial freedom with a clarity that I think you have wanted for a long time. Those born under the sign of Virgo, well, you are going to find your home, and your family is going to be most important to you, and your social calendar, it is going to be a busy one. Lots of friends, lots of wonderful, wonderful times. And in the month of January, you're going to find that work is going to really be coming about for you. You've got so much that's coming into your space that maybe you didn't think would happen for a long time, but it is finally happening, and your health should be just wonderful. February, it seems like you have got a wonderful, wonderful opportunity in business. If you're wanting to start a new venture, this is the time when it's coming together. And you may find yourself evolving out of an old working environment into something brand new. And your personal life is going to be so meaningful to you. Your communication with others is just going to be top notch. Well, that's two more of a quarter of a year. And then we've got Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces that's going to be coming up, so we'll be covering those. Again, I want to mention to you my appearance this Saturday, December the 8th, at the 3rd Dickens Festival at the Stadium High area in downtown Tacoma. And let me give out their website, dickensfestival.net. That's how it's listed. Not fair, not Dickens Fair. dickensfestival.net. That's where you find out all of the wonderful details. And I'm going to be appearing at the Tacoma Little Theater from 12 noon until 5, and I'll be doing many consultations for people. And, yes, I do tape them for you. By the way, give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. Tomorrow, we have such an interesting show. I wish I had some way of being able to show you pictures, because we're going to be talking about the world of coins. And Tom Michael is going to be my guest. He is a world-class specialist. And maybe you're trying to find a special gift for that wonderful coin collector in your life. Or maybe you wanted to collect coins but didn't know what to look for, how to go about it. Well, we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be talking about coins from around the world, all different types of time periods. Fascinating stuff. I am amazed at the wonderful, wonderful material that I was sent by Tom. So we're going to have a good time. Also, on Friday, we're going to be talking with Lisa Lockwood. This is the undercover cop. Yes, Lisa was a member of the SWAT team. Oh, I've met her. She is an absolutely charming, charming woman, and we have just had the most wonderful conversation. Her book, Undercover Angel, is absolutely fascinating. You're not going to want to miss this. She is a woman that has walked a very unique path in life, and one that has taken her into all kinds of environments that I don't think many of us, male or female, would want to venture into. So Lisa is going to be my guest on Friday. And then next week, we're going to be talking about the house that love built. This is going to be a fascinating story about an organization I know you've heard of, Habitat for Humanity, and also the Fuller Foundation. And then we're going to be talking with Judy Strong, No Time to Grieve. This is just a wonderful, heartwarming piece of material that I think would be a great insight for you. And then Lai Uberlin is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about pets pets that belong to celebrities. And let's shorten it even more. Let's call it celebrity pets. Yes. Lai is going to be telling us about some animals that she has come to know. She's an animal communicator. She's just a delightful lady. And then on next Thursday, we're going to be having Ron Clancy back again. We're going to be having glorious Christmas music. And, I mean, this is wonderful. This is a collection, a millennium collection, that Ron spent years on putting together. And I have just been so pleased to have him as a guest every year. The music is fabulous. Then we're going to have Russell Targ. We missed him last month, but he's going to be with us on Friday the 14th, the end of suffering. Russell is a man that has been very much involved in remote viewing, and his background in science is phenomenal. So this book is a different turn, a different twist, a different perception, understanding, and he is a marvelous, marvelous man. So we're really looking forward to having him as a guest. So that's our lineup that is coming up, and if you want to find out anything else, then go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and go ahead and look up on the newsletters. You'll see all my guests listed on the newsletter. If you want to get a copy of the newsletter every month, it's free. All you need to do is send me an email at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And in that way, then you'll be kept up to date. Also, there's a listing of the upcoming shows on BBS Radio. So you can have it in a number of different places and get to it whenever you like. And don't forget, here at BBS Radio, we archive the shows, and then you're going to be able to hear them at your convenience whenever you're working, whenever you're on computer. So just know that it's available to you, and you don't have to miss any of the wonderful guests that we have and the dynamic information we share. Well, we're out of time here. This is Donna Siebel. Thank you so much for being with me today. And I want you to remember you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important to deal with the changes in life and to not be afraid. Nothing stands still in life. It is always moving and changing, and so must you. And if you do it, and you do it with an open heart and an open mind, my goodness, the sky's the limit. This is Donna Siebel. God bless. Have a fabulous day. Talk with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.